The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
Hello. Okay, thanks for having me.
A great start. Solid.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to what is sure to be an extremely chaotic my brother and me. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
And I'm the other brother, Gene.
Hi, Gene.
Hi.
Hi, Gene. Welcome, everybody. This is our friend, Gene Gray. You may know her from, God, what?
Things.
What, Gene?
Things. And I'm so excited to be here and that you finally decided to let the show be my brother and Gene. Thank you.
My brother and Gene actually sounds better now.
Yeah,
that
we've been dancing around it for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually a little stressed out, if I could say, because you're one of the few people who I think actually gives good advice.
Yeah.
And I'm worried about that kind of standard of quality coming to our program.
Oh, well, don't worry about that. It's really gone downhill since the pandemic.
Oh, okay, cool. So,
nothing to worry about there.
I'm worried because, Gene, you are smarter than everyone I know put together.
What? You got it.
And I've planned a lot of...
You know me, though. Come on.
I know.
That
hey, Justin,
very insulting.
I said what I said.
I got a 1280 on the SAT. Come on, man.
I got a 1400.
Why have we never talked about this? Now I know why.
Oh, I didn't take my SATs because I knew what I was
saying.
That's what I'm saying,
Gene.
Person says.
I was like, no, I'm not doing that. And they were like, you can't get into NYU unless you take these SATs. And I was like, I'm going to get into NYU anyway. And I did.
God!
See?
So cool, Gene. Yeah. Damn it.
Yeah.
I also just want to say before anybody ats us, as the kids say, this is before they changed like the number of the highest you could get on that. So 1400 used to be good.
Now, what?
Used to be good.
What is it now?
I don't know. They added like another 800 points in there somewhere.
For what?
I think just for putting your name
for
on it, right?
For emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's just like... Yeah, how good of a friend are you? How caring are you? Are you open to new experiences?
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, you just do TikTok dances and they score you on it.
I'm going to take it now. Can you do like adult SATs? Can you like retroactively?
I'm sure you can. They'll take your money, Gene.
You absolutely should be allowed to be like, I'm here for an adult. As I'm an adult
I've
SAT
changed my
taker.
Mind.
I just want to put it on Facebook what my score is and I'm ready.
Once you're over 25, you should be able to rent a car and take the SAT, but be able to write on different questions like not applicable.
Yeah.
Not applicable. I would never use. I'm 25. I haven't
not
used
applicable.
It.
Also, am I allowed to smoke during the SATs? I am. It's the adult SATs. I can smoke now.
I think you should be able
put
to
put on Game of Thrones.
Drink, have a little like sippy cup of wine, have an ashtray. Have some tissues in case you need to cry. Take a break and watch something.
Renew. Mm-hmm. So this is an advice show.
We're obviously.
Obviously. We're going to take people's questions and turn them alchemy like into wisdom with Gene's help. Our brother Griffin is still...
Missing.
I don't know, man. I guess recuperating from having a baby. I don't know that he did that much.
Well, he pushed a baby out of his body.
Yeah, he pushed a baby out. Well,
wow, which part?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's what we're still trying to determine, Gene. We have our best people on this.
And we're just basing this on his sort of like attitude and work ethic. It just seems like he took it really hard.
Well, I'm saying that like, depending on which part, I'd be like, I understand. Like, if it's his butt, I'm like, you definitely need a break. But like, come back to work. But if it's like his pee hole, then he should be out for 3 years.
Yeah, that's probably true. No, we're very sympathetic to our...
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations, Griffin. Would love to talk to you or see you again if you get this message. Love for you to dip back in and...
Put down the piña colada and come back and record.
Yeah, buddy, get off the beach. Get back to work. Okay, here we go.
Well, right. I want to get started. Son of a bitch. Gene, I have a special segment here. And it's called Riddle Me Peace.
Oh, no.
Not yeah, now, Gene.
Guest. This is our guest.
This is our guest. Gene, now I've got some riddles here.
Oh, I love it.
These are a little bit shorter, faster riddles than we normally do. These were sent by Hazel. These are from, of course, the service riddles.com. And Gene, you know, just do your best. Like I said, you're very smart, so I'm sure you'll get these.
Gene, the thing with these that Travis finds is that they're extremely bad riddles. Okay. That no one would have ever gotten. Okay. So please don't.
Well, I don't know. Oh, well, listen to this first one, though. And,
wait. Well, what's my motivation? Like, do I get to cross a bridge or something?
Yeah. If you answer all five of these, you can cross a bridge.
Oh.
An extremely powerful crystal.
Yeah, you get a powerful crystal that will grant you two extra life.
Two?
This first one. What crawls and is yellow and black and doesn't fly? And this one's obvious, I think.
Oh, it's a bee with a back injury.
Oh, very close. Justin?
a yellow and black caterpillar?
I guess that's close too. What crawls and is yellow and black and doesn't fly? Why, a bee spider, of course.
I was also going to say spider. Morgan Beeman.
Oh, okay.
He used to fly.
He's old.
He's a little tired. He's old now.
This one, I just like the core concept of. A guy works at the poison factory.
Poison like Belviv DeVoe?
Yes.
Where they just manufacture.
He works at the BBD factory, yes.
Demand for Belviv DeVoe's poison is off the charts, folks. We got to print these ka-singles.
Vinyl is back.
Ka-singles. Vinyl is back. We got vinyl and ka-singles of Belviv DeVoe's poison. Man, I hope whoever came up with the word ka-singles was very proud of themselves. They took the day off.
I didn't think I was going to hear that word today. Thank you.
He goes home from work, and his wife tells him to wash his hands before eating so he doesn't die. So he goes, washes his hand, and the next day he's found dead. How is that possible?
It's endless.
I'll just go ahead and tell you because I want to discuss it. When he went to wash his hands, he opened the tap, so the poison went on the tap. And when he closed the tap, he touched the poison again. Now, I forgot
that he worked in the poison factory.
Yeah, he worked in the poison factory. And what this riddle presupposes is that he was just in there. In the poison with his hands, that he was just working the poison with his bare.
There's no safety precaution.
But it doesn't get anywhere else.
I guess. Did he drive home? You know what I mean?
Like,
I get. Yeah, this is all I can think is that this is like Victorian London.
Oh, I got some problems.
Okay, well, you've got to like. There have to be procedures for you to like scrub out of the poison factory.
You would think. What is correct but is always wrong?
Me.
Oh, Gene.
Too personal. What is correct but always wrong?
Yeah. And this one, people at home are screaming the answer to this right
now.
Well,
we can't.
Really, it's that obvious. Oh. Huh?
It's so obvious. The answer is a bee, because it always stings but also helps.
It's Morgan Beeman again.
Very bee heavy.
I was also going to say that he might have stung the guy from the poison factory.
He might have stung. They're all, it's
it all ties together.
Together. Okay, so what?
This babble. This is all storylines interweaving.
One more. Mm-hmm. So, ... There was this one time you were thirsty and decided to boil water, right? Just go with it. All you had left were one thin wine glass and one thick glass. Which is more likely to break?
I love a thick glass.
I love a thick glass.
I took a long time selecting the glasses for this house because I didn't want them to be too thin or too thick.
Yeah. Just, I want a nice heavy glass.
Do you know what I did? I now that I'm 40, mm-hmm. I have completely... This is kind of embarrassing to admit, but I'm just going to go ahead. I have almost completely... eliminated glassware from my life. We have a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old and a me, and I just don't want anything glass anymore. Everything's like recycled plastic. I'm just out of the game. I'm out of the glass game. I can't handle the pressure anymore.
I set glasses down too hard and break them. And we referred to mostly everything I do as Shrekking around.
Oh, wow. Just Shrekking around.
I'm just out there Shrekking around, breaking glasses left and right. I don't need that.
You need a heavy
Get
glass.
Get those polyurethane glasses.
You need a heavy
so,
glass.
A heavy thick glass. That's the answer.
Wait, what? I just, why was I boiling the water? Or what?
So there was this one time you were thirsty and decided to boil water, right? And then it says, in parentheses, just go with it, in parentheses. So
is, yeah, Gene, just go with it.
Is the water still hot, or do I wait for it to cool
all
down?
All you had left, I'm telling you all the details I have, Gene.
She's so thirsty.
You decided to boil water, right? Just go I with it. All you had left were one thin wine glass and one thick glass, which is more likely to break.
The thin glass, but
the answer is, why would you be boiling water to drink in the first place?
But
are you fucking kidding me? That is the answer.
That is the answer.
But what if you're in like, what if you're on Naked and Afraid?
Uh huh.
That's a good point. They told Travis this
Naked and Afraid and two glasses.
This is actually the most irritating one. Gene, this is not Travis is not making these up. There's someone who like. Wrote that into the website, and they're like,
wrote it into the world, Justin.
Yeah, fucking good riddle.
Here's a riddle.
Good
riddle. Here's a riddle. Why would you write that and send it? What's the answer?
Yeah.
I am so fucking furious.
The answer. Write it.
Let me talk. Travis, let me talk.
Yeah.
I'm furious.
Okay.
Because at the one point where it's like, you might stop to think, this is weird. Maybe this is part of the riddle. They literally said, just go with it. Uh-huh. Like, they that's cheating to the worst, to the nth degree. It's like, it can't get more unfair
than
that.
And they were like, don't ask the answer.
And they also don't give the answer. I mean, the answer isn't, the question isn't, do you drink the water? It's which is more likely to break. It has nothing to do with the fact that you were boiling water.
This is the worst
very
one.
Upset.
I love it so much. Sure. There should be more. There should be more like this.
Don't listen to him.
Yeah, don't send any more of those in. Stop using.
Thank you, Hazel. Hazel sent those. Thank you,
Hazel. Thanks, Hazel. Okay, now we're gonna help actual people. Right. Here we go. I've started trading voice messages with a pen pal during quarantine, and it's been really fun and exciting.
Oh, good.
She's French, but speaks excellent English, so we've been communicating via English so far. But I have secretly been learning French through an app. So that I could speak with her in her native language. Well, I started my last message off with 30 seconds worth of what I thought was decent French, but her response didn't mention it at all. What the fuck do I do? Do I ask her about it, or should I never mention it or speak French again? That's from Fraught French Fool. God, that's
great
tough.
Alliteration.
Fuck, that's bitter. Ooh,
it's a difficult pill.
Yeah, I'm very confrontational, so this one is difficult for me because my next message would have been like in French, being like, "Did you hear my fucking French? What's up?"
Yeah,
yeah.
Did you voulez-vous my, you know, the whole thing? Did you get
baguettes,
it?
Bitch? Like, what happened? Like, I did it. What's up?
Is it possible that, like, I'm not bilingual? I speak a little Spanish, like, enough to get around, right? But, like, my brain still has to do the computations. It's not happening, like, second nature. Is it possible your French was so good that it just didn't trigger, like, they just kind of, like, processed it, right? Like, well, I don't know. I'm used to hearing both of these. It's not going to, like, mess me up. Like, if you hang out with people who are bilingual, especially, like, two people who speak a different language from you, you'll notice in conversation sometime, they'll just start like, you know, they'll switch without even really thinking about it. Maybe your French was so good that they didn't even really process it.
I watch a lot of polyglots trying to surprise people with their own languages videos on YouTube. That's my weird hobby. And that happens, that people are like immediately like, oh, okay. And then just continue with the conversation. So that's possible.
Is it like when people are at when you watch the videos of an American going into like a Chinese restaurant or something, and then they're just like, let mm-hmm. me lay it out mm-hmm. for you. Like, let me blow mm-hmm. you away with the fact that I also know mm-hmm. your language.
Statistically speaking, isn't it strange that there's no video of someone walking up to someone to do street magic, but then the person that they approach is also a street magician who does street magic back to them?
No. I would enjoy
that. That should exist, right?
I would enjoy that.
That has to have happened, right?
But that's like, it's not going to mix, you know? You're not going to be impressed.
What if it just keeps impressed. Going and they keep doing street magic back and forth between
until
each other?
Until they die?
Yeah.
Until they die.
And eventually they're like, we should buy some tigers together. They're like, absolutely we should. Let's take this show on the road.
I enjoy France very much. Especially because they call me Jean everywhere.
I'm
a very fancy lady. And so when I was in France, a lot of my... my way of communicating, I was like, I'm never going to be good enough right now. So let me just choose things that I know are funny, like the monkey smoking the pipe, like the song Shumin Peep. And I'd say a lot of things about bicyclette. And if I was charming enough, then they were fine with it. And they were like, oh, stupid American. French is hard, and
I tried to learn it mm-hmm. During the last year because why not? Mm-hmm. And they have, if I'm not mistaken, 20 words, but those 20 words each have 1 million different uses. Yeah. And so, like, vous could be anything.
Don't complain about a language that is, unless you're like, mainly complaining about English because it's the worst.
No, English is the worst. English is the worst because none of what we say actually means what I've tried talking to a 4-year-old and you use like a turn of phrase and the 4-year-old's like, what the fuck?
It's dumb.
What does that mean? And you're like, don't worry about it. It's dumb. Don't worry about it.
What did you want the person to say? It's like,
Zutalore.
Yeah, right? Like, that's what you're hoping for. Like, you're telling me you learned French? Yeah. In addition to English, a feat which I've demonstrated a facility with for our generation. Congratulations.
I think you just nailed it right there. I think it's like, oh, okay, so you decided to do the thing that I'm already doing. I'm not impressed. I'm already doing that thing. And I think mainly a lot of Americans are like, look at the, and everybody's like, yeah, we all speak like 80 languages. Like, okay, so great. Good for you.
We already do. And also, if you didn't contextualize it probably seemed kind of weird. Like, have you been catfishing me this whole time and you spoke French this whole time?
Wait, if you had started speaking Esperanto, I bet they would have mentioned it, right? Mm-hmm. That would have been like, whoa, what was that?
I didn't understand what you just said. Can you back up?
Only 2% of the population understood what you just said, if that.
Yeah. I mean, keep speaking French. That's it's a great language to learn and to know. But definitely, like, just ask. Just ask.
And it is the best way to practice
it. And learn it for you, too. Yeah. Do it because you want to do it and not to impress somebody. And I'm sure they'll help you. That would be nice to have somebody to communicate in a language you're trying to learn. That's the best way to learn.
Yeah, right? It's the best way to practice.
Maybe record some messages of yourself, like congratulating yourself after you learn the French and then play it back for yourself so you can get the validation you need.
There you go.
But, like, draw a fake mustache on and some cool sunglasses.
And stripes.
And it's like your alter ego, Complimentary Tony.
Complimentary Tony!
Yeah.
Just there to buoy your spirits.
Make you feel good.
That was a real good French you did, son. I'm proud of you. Did you call me son? Yeah, I'm also your dad. I can tell you've been needing this.
You earned my respect for the first time.
Finally, I respect you,
I'm
son.
I'm proud of you. Let's
and
go
I was
outside.
Wrong to change the channel so I could watch Mythbusters. You were right.
It wasn't your fault that your mom and I separated.
I told
you at the time it was your screw up, but no, it's all on me. I wasn't there for her.
I was speaking in anger, son. It's something I learned from my dad, and I'm so glad you didn't learn from me. I like that you're sensitive.
Meet your new mother. You guys are the same age. You'll get along great.
Son, I just want to let you know you're Trapian. In my book, you're always Trapian.
So I want to try out something new here to replace Yahoo. This was sent in. This was a suggestion.
Gene, did you know the Yahoo Answers service died?
I did.
Yeah. Well, it's dying.
Empire. We built an empire around it. It is dying in front of us. You can no longer put new questions on. They have not pulled the plug.
Yeah, you can't answer that. It's read only. Everyone can stop by and say their last goodbyes.
Yeah. to the what Sarah said phase of its lifespan.
So sackexchange.com has a part of its website for life hacks, but it's life hack requests where someone is saying, do you have a life hack for this? Mm-hmm. So thank you for sending this in, Michael. This request for a life hack was asked how to properly eat crumbly food with your hand. I'm talking about grated cheese, the crumbs at the bottom of a pack of chips. You get the idea. Basically, anything that gets stuck on your fingers and or falls to the ground when you try to put it in your hand into your mouth. Is there a nice trick, preferably without tools, to get this kind of stuff inside your mouth without making a mess? That was asked by Max D.
Yeah, you tip the bag into your mouth.
It's funny you should mention that, Gene, because the first answer, for the crumbs at the bottom of a bag of chips, hold the bag with the opening on top, make it almost flat, and slowly rotate it about 45 degrees while shaking it a little bit so that the crumbs end up in a corner. Mm-hmm. Continue to rotate and shake it while forming a small lip which easily fits into your mouth. Once the bag is rotated slightly more than 90 degrees, the crumbs will start to roll into your mouth. No tools needed. I guess this works less well for grated cheese since they tend to stick more. Maybe you have to shake a bit harder?
No, a tap. Slow tap.
A slow tap.
You know, it's one of the few times when I really feel alive is when I'm doing this with a new snack. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And at the bottom, there's a lot of like different leavings. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
I don't know. I have no idea what kind of speed.
You don't know the speed.
Or texture I'm about to experience.
Yeah.
Like, I could get like a full fun dip mouthful of like just salt and paprika.
Oh, yeah.
And ruin my whole day. I don't know. But that, you know what? I don't even stop to think about it. That's how alive I am and vibrant and in the moment, even at 40.
That's how I feel with like when you're down to the crumbs of a pretzel bag and you know,
it's salt.
It's straight salt, but I still can't stop myself from doing it to feel alive. You know what I mean? Like I feel like Bodhi jumping out of the airplane, right? And I know Johnny Utah's chasing me, but I can't stop myself from doing it, Justin.
I don't really get these references.
I didn't understand any of that. What?
It's Point Break.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Point Break. No. It's a great movie. You guys should see it.
Oh, I have seen it. I've seen it many times and I remember nothing.
Saw the musical.
Oh, the musical's good. Yeah.
The musical's good. Now, the only time I've gotten into trouble is this. Sometimes you do the tip up and you realize that in the opening of the bag initially, you've left a small sort of blockade in the corner. So what you've done is you've created a sort of stoppage where the salt and flavor is stuck behind it. Now we're in a real dire situation because I'm going to try to open this up a little bit, but that's real danger. Like throwing flavor all over the place at that point.
Now, what about an extra long, one of those like candy sticks that comes with like the Lick-A-Made? You know, the Lick-A-Stick? You lick it and then you stick it in the dust and the dust sticks to it. But maybe it's savory.
Where would you keep those?
Yeah.
In your wallet.
You're talking about
your No, that wasn't it. It's not in your wallet.
You're talking about breadsticks, first of all.
Ah, damn it. You're right.
You invented breadsticks. Congratulations.
I think you
could keep like a tube, like maybe like a sheath on your hip that you keep the breadstick in.
A sheath.
Yeah.
What about
so it's like a sword.
What about a straw? What about a very thick, like milkshakey straw? You can definitely die. So I'm just going to suggest a shake and tap. A slow.
The shake and tap.
Just take your time. Take your time. Don't be too anxious unless you're just like, this is how I live my life. I live on the edge. Then, you know.
Yeah. Or just combine all of the leave-ins into one bag over a period of time. And then just go for it all at once. And lose yourself in the day.
That's actually how they make everything seasoning.
Oh.
Yeah. It's just delicious. Everything. Well, at this point in the show, we're going to ask another question. Here we go. Hello, I'm a middle school teacher in the Minnesota. Okay. I accidentally stumbled across one of my students and her breakup TikToks about another one of my students. One of her posts was literally a screen capture of their entire text conversation for the last couple of months with the caption, "Watch the love of my life fall out of love with me." So obviously I needed to know about the drama. I had to keep pausing it to read and I accidentally double tapped and liked the post. I unliked it, but I'm afraid she will see that I liked her posts. What do I do? Help me, brothers. Well, let me start with a quick clarification. You didn't stumble.
That's where across. I was going with that.
You didn't stumble across anything, right, Jean? They didn't stumble.
That is not an act. You did not trip. And you were like, oh, what's this? It's somebody I know. It's one of my students.
That has happened to me on... What a coincidence that out of the millions of TikTok users, I've stumbled.
Isn't the world
crazy? Perhaps I should follow them just because of the happenstance.
I'm fated to see this because I've stumbled across it.
I'm meant to be here. Think of the good I could do.
Yeah. I think that's the answer to the question.
Basically, what we're saying is you called down the thunder and now you got it.
You just lean into it and just start liking all of it. And then when they're like, Miss Thompson?
Oh, no, wait. No, okay. Travis actually makes a good, but Travis, like, you're a teacher. You're super old. Mm-hmm. I get it. I'm super old too. What you could do at this point is just go through and start liking everything and just profess an ignorance of how the platform
functions. Or just if they confront you.
I like you. So I was just liking all your posts.
Yeah. Or go the other way. And when they're like, Miss Thompson, did you like the post about my breakup? I'm like, yeah, good content. Good content, Sarah. I'm loving it. Yeah. Go viral.
I think your choices are there's no middle ground here because you've already gone full extreme. So you have to choose one of those options that have just been provided to you.
You could use their sound to make your own videos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just take the sounds from their videos and make just duet them. That's a thing you could do. Stitch it together and then post it in class.
And then on the bright side, after all of this, you might go to jail and you won't have to see TikTok again.
That's the only thing that would get me off the talk at this point. You got to lock me up to keep me away from it.
Keep me away from that content. Mm.
I still have the feeling when I'm looking at TikTok that I have stumbled into some sort of like contraband, like old person contraband.
Yeah.
Like I'm not supposed to be able to have access to this amount of culture. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it feels wrong. I know that I'm not supposed to be there. It's I've now had the experience of like being in a bar or some instance where I'm like, oh, these people are I'm old enough to be everyone's mom and I need to go.
It's the record scratch moment, right? But the way I use TikTok is like I walked in, there was a record scratch. But then I also just sat down and ordered a drink and just stayed for a while everyone just continued to stare at me the whole time. I enjoyed my drink.
Hey, isn't that guy really old?
Hey,
should that old guy be
Did he order seconds? What's happening?
Listen, you don't know life until you actually walk into a nightclub where your very famous DJ friend is DJing and they can't hear what you're saying. So you go up to the DJ booth and you actually bump the record player and do the record scratch. Thus, the entire club turns to you. Haven't.
Wow.
At that point, Gene, I guess you either leave or start doing a very good rap that blows everybody away. Like, those are your two options,
just
right?
Yelled. I was like, what I was saying was, and then just repeated the question. I was like, just fucking lean into it. And that's where we're at.
One time, Griffin and I, when he lived in Cincinnati with me and we lived in Batavia, which is like outskirts.
Not a fantasy kingdom. No, it's an actual real suburb place. Of Cincinnati.
Outskirts of Cincinnati. And anytime we wanted to do anything, we were always driving into Cincinnati to do something. And so one day we were like, well, we're going to go on a quest to find like a bar around here that could be like a local place that we go to. So we're not like driving 40 minutes to get to a bar. And so we were just hitting any bar we could find like on MapQuest or whatever the fuck. And we found this one where we walked in and it was pretty much felt like the bar from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh.
And Griffin and I walked in. Everyone literally turned and looked at us and we backed out. And they left.
They should have, I feel like bars should have a sort of vestibule breezeway kind of thing with one-sided glass. You know what I'm saying? Where like where you have like a 10-second grace period to be like, oh, no, this is wrong. I shouldn't have done this. This isn't the right thing. Because I know I can't just turn heel and walk out.
I tell you guys are, like this experience is based, I would love that vestibule because I would like to know, driving across America, I'm like, being Black and stopping at any random bar always feels like that. And I would like to just know that there's a vestibule and it was like, get out of here. And I was like, all right, well, no need to go any further. We're good. We're just going to get back in the car. I'd like a racist vestibule. You can generally tell by the town. The town is kind of the vestibule, but you know.
How close is the Cracker Barrel to the bar? You start there.
There we go. Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break and do advertisements, and then we'll come back and there will be more show. I'm certain of it. Oh, these pants? Oh, these pants, Justin?
These pants
that I'm wearing? Oh, yes, these sir. Pants?
Uh-huh.
I got them through Stitch Fix.
Good.
Yeah, I love Stitch Fix. I thought you would then maybe say, like, what is Stitch Fix? Or something like you would play along.
I know what Stitch Fix is, Travis. It's a service that you can use to help reimagine your wardrobe, refresh,
uh-huh.
renew, revisit.
Yeah.
Revive?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you want to do as long as there's a re at the beginning of it. Stitch Fix is going to help you do it. They got clothing that's hand-selected by expert stylists for your unique size, style, and budget. If you're like, I would never spend $50. That's if you look at a t-shirt that costs $50 and you say, that's $50 for a t-shirt. And that's a problem for you?
Yeah.
Stitch Fix can work around that. That's no problem. They're going to get you what you need at the price that you require.
Now, what if I want a Dookie Brown jumpsuit, Justin?
The one thing we can guarantee with Stitch Fix is that they have no Dookie Brown jumpsuit.
You don't know that.
It's possible.
You can't say that, Justin. It says right here in the fine print, it says, don't say we don't have Dookie Brown jumpsuits.
There's no subscription required. Try Stitch Fix once or set up automatic deliveries. You'll pay just $20 styling fee for each box, which gets credited toward pieces you keep. And there are no hidden fees. Ever. We're about to reemerge into the world. Why not reemerge with a fresh look? Get started today at stitchfix.com/mybrother and you'll get 25% off when you keep everything in your fix. That's stitchfix.com/mybrother for 25% off when you keep everything in your fix. stitchfix.com/mybrother.
Oh, this hamburger, Justin? This hamburger?
Serious?
This hamburger?
Really?
I got it through DoorDash. Did you forget that one thing at the store? You know that one thing. That thing, wink, wink. Now you can get snacks, drinks, and household essentials in 30 minutes with DoorDash. DoorDash, Justin, thank you for asking. It connects you with the restaurants you love right now, right to your door. And Justin, yes, Justin, quit asking. Now you can get the grocery essentials you need with DoorDash too. Hey, Justin. Hey, could you quit asking? I'm trying to do the ad and you keep interrupting me.
Sorry, I'm really concerned. I forgot probiotic gummies. At the store, I didn't get them. I don't know what I'm supposed to do now, Travis. Okay. I'm really distracted from you trying to tell me what to do if I forget something at the store because I forgot my probiotic gummies.
Well, don't you see how ironic that is, Justin? Because with DoorDash, you can get drinks, snacks, and other household items, including, I assume, probiotic gummies, delivered in under an hour with the contactless delivery drop-off setting. You get it now, right? Justin, do you get it?
I get it. Sorry, without my probiotics, I'm a little slow on the uptake.
Yeah.
But I am getting it now.
For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code MBMBAM. That's 25% off up to $10 value and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code MBMBAM. Don't forget, that's code MBMBAM for 25% off your first order with DoorDash, subject to change, terms apply. Hugs and kisses, DoorDash.
Yours, DoorDash.
Mr. Robot Man, what are you doing?
I'm just taking one last look at my coworkers.
Every journey comes to an end.
Remember, Plek, the space will be with you always.
Sorry, who are you again?
Master Kiran.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Just calling in.
Friendships will be tested.
Don't you have to do it. You have to shoot Fleck.
Okay.
You shot him so fast.
Destinies will be fulfilled.
I've become a complete bird. I'm flying. I'm flying.
On April 28th, the saga starts concluding.
Guys, we don't have a choice. We have to put on a show.
We can do it in the old barn. We've got the costumes. We've got a stage. We can do it, you guys.
Mission to Zix, the final season on Maximum Fun.
Bum, 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 bum.
Oh.
Bum, 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 bum.
Huh.
We're about to yell squad.
Oh, yeah.
He'll say munch, Gene, and then we yell squad. Okay, now he's trying to impress you.
I want a munch squad.
I want to munch
squad.
Welcome to Munch Squad. It's a podcast within a podcast profiling the latest and greatest in brand eating. And we have got such a mass. This is like, this has never happened where a story has been this fucking fresh and hot off the presses. It's happening now. We're living in this moment. Domino's Pizza has brought back the Noid. The Noid, which they successfully did avoid for decades. The Noid has come home to Domino's Pizza, New York Stock Exchange ticker DPZ. It's the largest pizza company in the world, and they've brought back the Noid. Now, the Noid, they describe here as an anti-hero that has been trying to prevent great pizza delivery since 1986. Mm-hmm. I would just say that is a villain.
Yeah.
In my book.
I mean, I guess it is literally the anti of a hero, but that's not what that term
means. This is a wild press release here. And if you're I guess like younger than me at all, like if you're a young person and this is like lost, he looks like kind of like a superhero.
Kind of like he was in The Incredibles.
Like a red, exactly. Like that vibe with big red ears. And he was a big thing in the mid-80s. And he would try to like mess up pizza delivery.
Sort of like the Hamburglar, but for pizzas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And you would try to avoid the Noid.
There was a video game.
There was a video game. There was
and also, shout out to rapper Big Noid. This is huge news for you.
Yeah, this is Matt. Yeah, that's gonna get that Google juice going, real nice for you. So the big, not Big Noid. Big Noid is not interfering with pizza delivery.
No,
whatsoever.
Well,
that we know of.
Right? Maybe, who knows? This is the press release. An anti-hero. The largest pizza company in the world has always had one nemesis: the Noid.
Anti-hero. Okay.
Yeah, an anti-hero that has been. You would think it's other pizza, right? Mm-mm. Nope.
No.
Nope, it's a villain they invented. It's been trying to prevent great pizza delivery since 1986. And this is, I can't believe they put this in the press release. Maybe it was the chaos of 2020 gave the Noid the confidence to return. Hey, are you fucking sure that that's the angle you want to go with? Like, maybe are you telling me the Noid was watching TV and he saw the global pandemic claiming millions of lives and was like, I gotta stop pizza delivery. I'm back,
maybe. Now's my time.
Yeah.
This is my moment. Or possibly the fact that Domino's has continued to innovate around great pizza delivery with amazing technology. Mm-hmm. Whatever the reason, the Noid simply can't stand it anymore. And the pesky anti-hero has returned in Domino's new television ads, which began airing today, trying to thwart the advanced technology of Nuro's R2 robot, a completely autonomous, occupantless, on-road vehicle out on a pizza delivery.
Wait.
What?
Yeah, guys, here's what I'm saying to you. I watched this new ad. If you go to YouTube and search for videos of the Noid that have been posted in the last week, I watched it when it had literally 87 views this morning. And it is a truck, a robot truck, that is
trying to deliver pizza. And the Noid's like, fuck that. I'm going to stop this robot from doing its job with all my different tricks.
It just feels like it's a shortcut to vehicular manslaughter.
This little robot, by the way, is so wild, y'all. I wish you could see it. It's just a tiny little pizza delivery robot. And the Noid, in a sort of man versus machine thing, he can't thwart people anymore, but maybe he can stop a super smart AI pizza delivery robot. I don't know why that would be.
Can I just play. Say just a little message to Domino's, if I might?
Sure.
Maybe, y'all. Maybe just make better pizza. This seems incredibly elaborate. You had focus groups. You had so many meetings. You hired new people. Maybe you could have spent that money, I don't know, making better pizza.
You know, it's also strange, Gene, now that you mention it. It is strange that they have introduced reintroduce the idea of the Noid at the same moment that they say, also, just side note, we got robots to learn.
Also, have you seen the robots?
Very
don't worry about them. I'm sure they're fine. But the Noid, right? It's don't worry about the pizza robots. They're fine and they're not going to ever.
The pizza do robots wrong. Can
Did you
kill
say
the
a
Noid.
Robot truck that delivers pizza? Yeah. But look, he's back.
Whoa. Gene just raised a great point.
Did the robot kill the Noid?
That the pizza robot can't legally kill the Noid.
Huh.
You can't try a robot in court.
Nah, law of robotics. Law of robotics. Rule number one, don't kill the Noid.
So they basically have set up some murder robots.
Some murder robots that are designed to do two things, deliver mediocre pizza and kill the Noid. The Noid, here's a quote, the Noid is Domino's oldest and most famous villain.
Wait, what are the others? What are the other
ones? Yeah, right. You all have a rogues gallery over there?
Well, there's Cybernoid.
The pizza delivery testing we're doing with Neuro's autonomous vehicle is exactly the kind of technology innovation that could provoke the Noid to return, said Kate Trumbull, Domino's vice president of advertising. However, after 35 years of practice in avoiding the Noid, we're pretty confident we know how to defeat it.
It's what are you talking about? What are you talking about? You invented it. What do you mean you know how to fucking defeat it, you lunatics? What are you talking about?
Yeah, if you close your eyes, he stops existing.
Yeah, right?
It's a manifestation of your own dark urges.
Well, what? He used to be Justin, but now we don't know.
While television screens are a great place for a classic nemesis to return.
What?
I hate the parts in these where I can tell it's a fellow human, same species as me and everything, that has to fill a paragraph. And they're like, I guess one of the things that I could combine words into saying is, while television screens are a great place for a classic nemesis to return, mobile devices are the newest place for the Noid to cause problems. So basically, on May 7th, the Noid is going to join the new Crash Bandicoot game.
What?
In ways that I don't. And so the Noid will be featured as one of the game's mini bosses, pitting players against the Noid as Crash progresses through the story. Avoiding the Noid has never been so fun. Players will also have access to exclusive.
No, just stop. Just stop.
Thank you, God. Thank you.
Domino's, you fucking make pizza and calm down. What the fuck are you talking about? Nobody wants, I don't want a Domino's video game or a villain. I just want, I don't even want you to make, like, good pizza. Like, just do, like, just do your best at the pizza.
Know who you are.
God damn it. What are you doing?
Here's, it occurred to me that maybe, and this is hard to say, but the wildest thing about this has just occurred to me. Neuro's, right, is a separate company.
Yeah.
So that means that at some point, a representative of Dominio's had to go to Neuro and say, hey, you know how you developed a self-driving delivery truck and we're going to start using it? We love that. And so we think the best way to roll out that news is to bring back the Noid.
Yeah. Don't worry about it, because there's also the Domino's has a limited number of hang in there and avoid the Noid t-shirts.
What? Is it like the kitten?
It's just like the Noid hanging on something.
for purchase on Amazon. And guys, if you go and look, it's literally just like a no branding, no anything, just like a picture of a shirt that says Avoid the Noid. And it does have some great features on it, like a tearaway label. And it does say here in the features, Noid design printed on front of shirt.
Oh, cool.
So that's huge if you want to put the Noid on your shirt. And yeah, there's you can share the Noid in GIF and sticker search engines on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok. I don't want the teens to find
maybe
out about the
some, no. Maybe some gluten-free options. Maybe some keto or vegan options. Like, I'm just trying to suggest anything else that they could have done with this money. Maybe help the homeless.
Yeah, so that's what's going on with the Noid.
Thanks for keeping me. I've been worried. I haven't heard from him since the last reunion.
That's what's up with the Noid. God.
I have another quick bit I want to try real quick.
Oh, my God.
I've titled this bit, That's Interesting Trivia, Son. And what I did is I went on IMDb, looked up one of my favorite movies, and I pulled three bits of trivia from it. And I want you guys to guess the movie I am describing.
Okay. Is this going to be funny or is it going to be more of
Is it Point Break?
Quiz. Yeah. Is it Point Break?
It's a little bit of a Point Break. I've titled it That's Interesting Trivia. I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. Doesn't always have to be funny, Justin. That's not what my comedy is about. My comedy is not about being funny. Sometimes it's making other people look funnier by comparison. Okay. The working title of this film was Hot and Cold.
Is that it?
That was the first one, yeah. Any guesses? Any guesses so far? No? Okay. This was considered as a vehicle for Corey Haim and Corey Feldman early in production before it was decided to make the leads older.
Was their movie License to Drive together? No, it wasn't. What was the Corey's movie?
Was it Ferris Bueller?
Oh, good guesses. One more, and I think that this one's a giveaway. Body Count, One.
One person dies in this
Ice-T.
Movie?
Correct.
Ice-T is in it because he was in Body Count. I'd like to get really elaborate. One person dies?
One person dies. And it's a two-buddy comedy.
Uh-huh.
And the working title of the film was Hot and Cold.
Wait, is it is a comedy?
Yes.
And the Coreys are in it, or they were slated to be in it?
They were planned to be in it, but then they made the leads older. And let me say, that Body Count One is incredibly essential to the movie.
Oh, it's Weekend at Bernie's.
It is Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh.
The working title of Hot and Cold is the most bizarre of that.
He was.
Because he was hot.
He was cold. And then he was cold.
Then he was cold when he was dead.
Yeah.
Another slam dunk bit from Travis.
Okay, let's help more people. I live in an apartment building at the end of my hallway. There's an edible arrangement.
I think those are two different.
I live in an apartment building, and at the end of my hallway, that makes more sense. Thank you, Travis. There is an edible arrangements in front of a door. It has been there for several days, and it is starting to look bad. I don't know these people, if they're home or not, but should I knock on the door so they could check outside their door? I'm afraid it'll look like I'm the person who delivered their fruit bouquet or a weirdo who cares about the weird old fruit in the hallway. Should I knock and escape through the stairwell next to the door immediately? Will it appear as though someone brought them an old, maybe spoiled edible arrangements? What do I do? That's from G.
I like to think it's from the Noid.
It's from the Noid.
Maybe the Noid's like, please take me back.
This is why the Noid is trying to stop pizza delivery, because he invested big in edible arrangements, and it hasn't quite taken off the way he had hoped as a pizza replacement. I like this question. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons I picked this question is because it highlights to me the way that sometimes the human brain can get spun up into anxiety. Mm-hmm. Because the idea that you would knock on this person's door and be like, hey, there's an edible arrangement out here, and that your fear is that they go, did you bring this? I don't think that's going to happen.
No. But here's the problem is like, I've been preaching this a lot on this show lately, and I'm just going to keep reinforcing it. You have to just act when the moment strikes, because you always make it weirder by waiting.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no sense in, like, it's so much less weird to get to the end of the day and be like, I bet they'd want this fruit. to not go bad. I wanted to give him a quick knockarooski. It's so less weird to do that than to knock on the door and be like, did you want this rotten fruit or what?
Yeah, because you will inherently, like, doing it spontaneously, you are more likely to nail the delivery than, like, thinking about it for too long. Because the casual nature will be out the window if you've thought about it for more than 30 seconds. Fruit here, huh? What's, who, why did you not, oh, yeah. Anyways, yeah. Like, that's how I would do it.
Yeah, the anxiety, and the overthinking and the overanalyzing that you're doing with this, you could be spending your time doing a lot more. And I know that you are thinking about this a lot in the day, like, yep. So many hours, and you've made so many movies in your head of the different ways that this goes. So you got to knock, but also you live in an apartment building. It's at the end of your hallway, and you don't want whatever is coming for these edible arrangements to end up in your apartment. And I don't mean like the noid. I mean like vermin. Or roaches or yes. Whatever. Like, so it is also very important that you take control of the situation. Just knock on the door. Don't leave them a note, because I know you want to. Don't put a note under the door.
Yeah,
also,
yeah.
They could be dead in there. Why don't you be a hero?
Oh, good point, Chief.
Why don't you find out what's going on? Like everyone else, and because we are all sort of like, you know, everyone for themselves, and we're living in this place, and especially in apartment buildings, I know that I didn't like to talk to neighbors or for whatever reason, or you may be, an introvert. But right now you need to take control of the situation because no one else is going to do that.
Just to clarify, Gene, do you think, and I guess this is more subjective than anything else, but do you think that if you were the person to discover that a neighbor is dead in their apartment, mm-hmm. would that get you to be considered a hero? Or is that just,
I'm
asking this, I don't know the answer.
I'd be a fucking hero. Because you don't, like, you don't know what's going on behind, like, they could have been, what if they've been, like, missing? Or what if, like, you don't know what's going on.
You don't know
what's
murder.
Going on.
Maybe they've
there.
Just been very sleepy and you've woken them up and they almost missed work. The problem, if you had done it the first day, it would have looked like you were concerned about them getting some
and
delicious fruit.
Uh-huh.
When you do it 4 days later, I'm concerned about the mess you have here and I need it removed.
Yeah, but you have to do it.
And this is
you do have to do it. And you have to stop thinking mm-hmm. about it. Just do it. Just do stuff.
That's my motto.
You know, I listened to this book called The 5 Second Rule, and the lady said that was Mel Robbins, and she said that if you just do 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go, mm-hmm. and just do it. Don't think about it any more than that. If you had done that, who knows what possibilities you could have. They could have given you one of the strawberries.
Maybe one of the chocolate-covered ones.
What if they opened the door and they were like, oh, your edible arrangements are here. And they were like, that's great. Here's $1 million. And now you don't
right.
even
thank you.
Know.
You've passed the test.
Passed the test.
This was a TikTok thing. And now you're rich.
$1 million
here, there is one.
I just don't know.
The people said it was too elaborate. I'm so glad. And it worked out.
There is one problem, though, Justin, with the just do stuff mantra is if you're a person that has impulse control problems and you think like, oh, I thought of a funny bit for my podcast and that my friends and my brother will like, and then you don't really think about it beyond that. And then you do the bit and then the bit doesn't work. You're like, why did I do that? You know what I mean?
It still works. You just have to adjust it to 50. Just
count
to 50.
50.
And do it.
Okay, I'll try that next time.
It also says it's maybe spoiled. I'm saying it's a fruit bouquet and it's been there for several days. It has gone bad.
My metric for is something okay to eat now mm-hmm. is like, did it sit out long enough that like I forgot it was there for mm-hmm. a second? And if the answer is yes, mm-hmm. it's a problem now for me.
Mm-hmm.
I watched too many. I worked a lot of food handling jobs in my youth, and I watched one too many like instructional videos about the danger zone. Mm-hmm. And now it's way up in my brain.
I throw a lot of stuff out that Quelle thinks should still be fine. And I'm like, you're insane.
This is why I'm glad my wife, because Teresa is the same as Quelle in that respect. And the number of times that I've had to be like, okay, well, I need you to smell this because I'm already thinking about it and it's not going to work out.
I don't see how you see that this is fine or that you can like pick around it. Like, don't do that. Oh, I also want to go back to the saint, because there's a question. The part of the question says, should I knock and escape through the stairwell? Now, I think that you should knock, that you should have the conversation, but then you should also escape through the stairwell and really present yourself as mysterious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wait till they bend down to pick up the edible arrangement.
Batman.
And then you're gone. I've thought about how much different Batman would be perceived if he just walked away from conversations. Because, one, that's not as mysterious. But, two, he always disappears, like, in the middle of the other person talking. Yeah. And if instead they, like, looked over and they were like, where are you going? And he was like, I gotta go away now.
And they're like, wait, it would be a much...
I haven't told you where...
It's one of my favorite things. That he just leaves. And in that, I aspire to be many different superheroes in many ways because of their strengths. But Batman's goodbyes, it's so much further than like Irish goodbyes. Like,
he knows when he has all the information he needs.
And I wish someone would just like keep, here's how you fuck up Batman. You just never, never lose eye contact. And then you'll be able to see him like clenching his teeth. And it's like he really wants to go, but just never give him the opportunity. Never turn away.
You blink one eye at a time, right? So you can keep the other one open on him.
Mm-hmm. You can clockwork
and
orange
now, by
eyes.
This time, the Joker has murdered a lot of people, but you got one up on Batman.
He's like, oh my God. What would happen if you Please. Didn't give him the opportunity to leave?
And then, like, the sun rose, and now Batman's just, like, walking, huh?
He's like, well...
I guess he would probably drive. I have work.
So how's... I have to go. How's everything?
How's the kids?
I like that I made him, like, sort of Louis Armstrong.
Yeah.
How's everything, Commissioner?
How come I only see you for work stuff? We never hang out anymore.
I think if you just force Batman into the rest of the conversation... that he refuses to have, that he would also be different.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, so the Riddler, it's attacking the Bank of Gotham. But also, how are you? How have you been? where are you going? Come back, Batman.
I'm back.
Oh, Gene and I just had a whole conversation while you were gone.
Oh, was it for the show?
No.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, it's a lot about Batman, really.
Thanks so much for listening to our podcast, My Brother and Me. We hope you've enjoyed it. A reminder, you can buy our merchandise, McElroyMerch.com. But I'm more interested in talking about Jean. Jean, how can people find more Jean Grey?
Right now, don't. I'll find you, which sounds like a threat.
Whoa.
I currently have deactivated my Twitter because I'm working. But you should be checking back with me in the upcoming months on my Instagram, and I'll come back on Twitter on my IG. It's Jean Egregio. And then you can find me at Jean Crazy on Twitter with some very important updates of what I've been working on for the past year. Yes, there are puppets involved.
Whoa.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Justin, where can we find you?
Don't. I'm deactivating mine, too, because it sounded cool when Gene said it, so I'm going to do it, too. Because I'm
reactivating your Twitter.
Travis deactivated my Twitter. No, I don't know. I don't know. You've already found me. You're listening to my podcast. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. Hey, here's my plug. Go get your fucking vaccine.
Please.
If you can get your vaccine, go get your fucking vaccine, please.
Please.
Just go get it.
Please.
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 I want to hug a person.
Yeah.
I want to see other people hug.
Yeah. I just want to watch people hug for money. You know?
Whoa, wait.
Hold on. Not through a TV screen, in person.
Yeah.
So I can see them shifting awkwardly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you to Montaigne for our theme song, My Life is Better With You. The full song will be available soon. By the way, if you're in a place that can support a Eurovision vote, if you've got a vote in Eurovision, Montaigne is going to be battling it out. And because of various travel restrictions, she's not going to be able to come to the contest itself. So she's going to need all the votes she can get. So please support Montaigne in the Eurovision Song Contest, which I believe is like May 22nd.
Can I also sing a version of the a theme song for this episode that I've been thinking about, which is definitely not ripped from a commercial from the 80s about a product?
Yeah, please. Sure. Okay. That'll be huge.
My brother, wherever he goes, I'm gonna go. My mm-hmm. brother, who's that? Me and my brother and Gene.
That's lovely, Gene. See, you're a musical genius. This is what I'm talking about. How do you come up with this
stuff? And people who don't have video don't see that Gene had those lyrics typed up and did not just in the moment
come up with shit music. I had them handwritten. Onto the wall with a Sharpie, so it's really in there.
It's permanent. It's not going anywhere. No. Anyway, I'm realizing terrifyingly that the way we end this show is by Griffin reading a final Yahoo. We have neither of those.
I have a final life hack I can read.
Oh, thank goodness. That's perfect.
This was also sent in by Michael and asked by Medulla Oblongata. How to roast a chicken in a hotel room?
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Gene McElroy.
And thanks for listening to my brother, and Gene. Kiss your dad, screw on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.
Max Fun Drive's almost here. It starts on Monday, May 3rd, ends on May 14th, and it's the best time to support the shows you love. Here are some folks like you sharing what Max Fun and our shows mean to them.
Most importantly, it's meant community.
And just thanks for hanging out, making joke 'em ups, and making my week a little bit brighter.
So, thanks, Max Fun, for making me a better person and making sure that I'm surrounded by better people.
Thanks again for all you do. Love supporting Max Fun, and keep it up.
Come back Monday, May 3rd for more details from your favorite hosts. We'll have some of the best episodes of the year, special Max Fun Drive thank you gifts, and maybe a few surprises. That's Monday, May 3rd. Until then,